Meeting is now being recorded.
Welcome, Vixen. This is Rhea. You're the first on the call. Hi, Martin. Welcome.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you perfectly. Hello, everyone. We'll get started in a few minutes. Thank you for joining.
Hi everyone, this is Rafi speaking. So we will start in 3 minutes while waiting for others to join the call. So we should start in time, and hopefully we will get more attendees in the coming minutes.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the NCSG policy call on Tuesday, 16th of April, 2019. In the interest of time, there will be no roll call and attendance will be taken by the Adobe Connect room and the phone bridge. I'd like to remind everyone to mute your microphones when not speaking to avoid background noise. With this, I will turn the call over to the NCSG policy chair, Rafiq Damak, to begin. Rafiq, please go ahead.
Okay, thanks Maria, thanks to everyone for attending this NCIG policy call. So this is happening after a few weeks after the Kobe meeting, and so it was a while since we had our last call. So maybe just to give context, so we usually have our NCIG policy call in the same week of the Geneso Council meeting, in order to have a discussion with our membership about that agenda that will be covered by the Geneso Council, and to share more updates about the discussion there, and also to get some input on, for example, the motion there, tablet for voting. So this is always a good opportunity to get an update of what's going on in Geneso and the Council in general, and also to discuss the policy matters like the public comments, the working groups, and so on. So as usual for our agenda, we will start first with agenda item number 2, which is the Geneso Council preparation, and we will try to go through the Council agenda. I will try to explain as much as possible and give some insight how it usually goes. Okay, so, sorry. So, the first item is about administrative matters, so it's not really substantive. The second agenda item, it's usually we take a time to do a review of project list and the action items. So the project seeds, I think it's quite a useful document that I advise everyone to check it in regular basis, because it lists all the activities, policy development process, committees, everything that initiated by the GENESO Council, or the GENESO, it's a committee from the GENESO Council, or anything that the GENESO joining as a chartering organization. So you can find there about the status and the progress of those activities, with all the relevant links to the wiki space and so on. So it can give you quite a good snapshot of what's going on, and also the kind of the amount of work done at the GENESO. Okay, so and regarding the action items, you can understand that a way for the council to follow up and track any action agreed during the calls or meetings. So sending letters to the ICANN org and so on. So it's also good if you have the time, you can check it and see what kind of action agreed by the GENESO Council. Okay, let's move to start more with substantive matters. It's the item number 3. Which is the consent agenda. So, as you can understand, the consent agenda is it's listing there any motion or confirmation or approval by the GENESO Council that it was deemed not necessarily to have a substantive discussion, because there is expectation there will be consensus. But usually we ask the councillor to share their thought in the mailing list, just in case to check if there is any issue or problem. And for this consent agenda, we have several items. The first one is a motion to adopt the GENESO Council response to the GAG communique. As you know, the GAG issue a communique in every ICANN meeting, kind of giving, not going to say an advice, because it's different, but to indicate the position from the GAG on several topics and items. And now it's kind of practice for many years. The GENESO Council considered that it's good to give an input to the board with regard to the GAG communique, and covering only GENESO-related topics, so like policy development process and so on. The GENESO response doesn't cover other items that they are not related to GENESO. And why we have this is to usually after an ICANN meeting, there is a call between the ICANN board and the CAG, using based on the GAG communique, and the first for the board to hear, to understand from the GAG, and also for the board to prepare a kind of scorecard, kind of to responding to the GAG communique. So the kind of a practice here from the GENESO Council is to try to give an input with regard to policy development process topic that brought or mentioned by the GAG. And so my understanding here, checking the response, there are two areas covered by the GENESO response. The first is about EPDP phase 2, and I think this is a topic of interest for us, and also the IGO-NGO curative rights. And then we will cover that later in more details in an agenda, a separate agenda item. I know that some of our councillor, NCIG councillor, participated in the drafting team for GENESO response, so probably they can give a better briefing about the content of the GENESO response. Anyone? Okay, I see Tatiana in the queue. Yeah, please go ahead.
Hi, everyone. Tatiana Chupino speaking. Can you hear me well? Hello?
Yes, we can hear you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much, because I somehow this small phone receiver on the Adobe Connect doesn't show that I'm speaking anyway. So the response to GAC communique this time is not actually very extensive, because there were only several points where we decided to respond. One of them raised some controversy. Many of you have followed the EPDP, so there was some controversy between us and commercial stakeholder group, namely intellectual property constituency, about technical solutions related to access to registration data. So finally, after some discussions, we were able to find language which was acceptable for everyone about whether the solution could be premature, which us and contracted party house registrars and registrars were insisting on. But finally, we were able to find a compromise language concerning this technical solution. With regard to the second point, on the response to GAC communique, CCT review recommendations. The first thought of the drafting team was that actually CCT review has nothing to do with the GNSO because it's not PDP, but then we finally decided after consultation with the ICANN staff that we better to address some of the concerns, namely anything related to new GTLD subsequent procedures PDP, which was actually in contact with CCT review team and was concerned about reviews recommendations because they were directed at the PDP policy development processes. So basically the second point actually covers the GNSO duty to consider more general CCT review team recommendations that were passed through to the GNSO by the ICANN board. So I would say that this time the review was pretty controversial in terms of the second phase of the EPDP, and with some efforts we found the language which was acceptable for all the stakeholder groups and constituencies of the GNSO Council. So this is basically it, and if you have any questions, I would be happy to answer.
Thanks, Tatiana, for the briefing, and I'm sorry, I mistake about the second topic. I confused it with another one. So it's good to hear that it's a result of compromise, because I think we had you in the last time, and we had to kind of made some amendments to the response, and we had to defer the approval. With regard to the CCT, can expect that some work is coming to us. I mean the GNSO Council, from the board, as they did approve some information and they put some other in, I'm not sure how to say it, kind of pending status, and sending them to the related SO. So we have some that's coming to us, and probably to the SAPRO. That I think it was expected by the SAPRO working group in terms of their planning, that they have to get the kind of outcome of the CCT review team and their recommendation. Omar, please go ahead.
Thanks, Rafiq, Samar, and thanks, Tanya, for the briefing. Provide some useful context to how the response to the GAC communique was drafted. I have one follow-up to that, and maybe it's kind of like a questionification as well. On the first item on the EPDP regarding the GAC advice, the GAC had basically advised the ICANN board I don't know what they can do, but I guess they want them to take measures to make sure that phase two of the EPDP proceeds in a timeline that is comparable to phase one, which most stakeholders involved believe is would be very difficult and challenging to do. But my question's on the GNSO response to this. Or maybe the lack of response, actually, because the GNSO council and its response didn't either confirm or deny that, you know, what they're going to do with the timeline. They just basically said that, you know, the GNSO council is aware of the issue and is going to deal with it in a timely manner, but without really specifying what kind of timeline it's going to, you know, basically try to follow. I ask this not only because of the GATT communique, but also recently, a little over a week ago, I think the NTIA sent ICANN a letter basically asking for the same thing. So there's pressure coming in from the U.S. government to ICANN to try to have phase two expedited in a manner similar to phase one. And I was wondering whether there was any additional context on, you know, the GNSO response to this and what the thoughts are. Thank you.
May I jump in?
Thanks,
thank you.
Okay. Yes,
I
can. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry that I jumped over your head and started talking. Yes, Amr, thank you very much. I didn't cover this in detail. Also, because I believe, at least from what I saw on the mailing thread discussing the GATT communique, there were not that much discussion on the timeline. So the language is really very neutral, and as you rightly said, sort of lack of response about the timing of the EPDP. I believe that it would be probably right now very hard, if not impossible, to agree on the GNSO level at this moment. You know what I mean? Just for the purpose of drafting GATT communique, what the timeline review would be. I believe that what we discussed on GNSO in Kobe, and I remember the EPDP discussions as well, that it would be absolutely, absolutely impossible to carry out the EPDP phase two work in the same time and under the same pressure as the phase one was going on. So it is impossible, and many of us admit it, and I believe that even on the GNSO level, the position was rather, you know, going to that direction, that the new phase of EPDP will convene and will try to finish the work fast, but not with the same speed as phase one. But I believe that if we are talking about drafting this GATT communique, already we saw that it was quite like IPC, they really stood against some of the wording, for example, about technical solutions and so on. I believe that drafting anything that would be less neutral is something that would be absolutely impossible to agree for the purpose of drafting this response, especially because, to me, I don't see really the clear position of the GNSO on this, because I believe that commercial stakeholder group, majority of it, will insist and align with GAC on the very fast completion on the phase two, while contracted party house and us would be absolutely against this. So I believe while it's not agreed, yeah, probably there could be no opposition that could be shaped by the drafter of GATT communique per se, because as long as we don't have exact timeline, and to me, while I really thought that we rather agreed on the GNSO and EPDP level that the speed wouldn't be the same, the external pressure is just too high and maybe this would be readjusted, although I personally would fight as long as I can that the second phase of EPDP should not go with the same speed. It's impossible. Thank you. I know that probably I haven't replied to your question, but I only clarified more. But I don't have exact response. My response is that it was impossible to answer about exact timeline and the level of the drafting. Thank you.
Thanks, Tatiana, for the response and comments. So, with regard to the Genesaur response, I understand about how the challenge that the drafting team, and so I'm not sure how much we can make changes, but if we think that it's needed, it has to be done pretty soon, because it will be really bad to leave such discussion to the council meeting itself. We had that experience last time, and it's not necessarily effective. So probably if there is desire to make change, it should be done as soon as possible. And I thought Yulf was in the queue, but he disappeared. So Yulf, do you still want to speak, or? Okay, does it look like? Okay. Hey, I guess I don't see any further comment or question on this agenda and the first item. Okay, seems Stephanie wants to add something. Yes, yeah, Stephanie?
Hi, can you hear me? Sounds like maybe not. Yes, okay, good. Stephanie Perrin for the record. I've been typing what I think in the chat. I think Elmer's raising a pretty important point here. For those who signed up for the EPDP, we had a heck of a time last time keeping the reins on and trying to make this a manageable process. And now we have pressure coming from the GAC. We have a former GAC chair as our leader on the EPDP, and a GAC chair who happened to have been in place when a lot of the sort of GAC power was gained during his chairmanship. And we have this ambiguous statement. I think we have to put a strong marker down, or we're going to be run ragged. And what I'm really worried about is all small teams that have figured out exactly what they want to build in the access model, volunteering and going ahead and building it. And I have been through this experience on the expert working group. I urge all of you to go back and read that report, because they're building exactly what they talked about back in the old days. So I think we have a real risk here that this thing is going to go off the rails, and we need to put a strong statement in. And contracted parties allegedly agree with us, unless they've got some kind of deal going on with the business community. So we should try and push this. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, thanks, Stephanie. Okay. I guess if there is no further comment or question here, we can move to the next item. And I understand that probably the discussion will continue with Adobe Connect chat anyway. So the second item is about the confirmation of the recommendation report to the ICANN board. So what now there is the public comment on by the board on the EPDP final recommendation, the recommendation and final report, and the deadline is the 17th of April. I think that's tomorrow, and we have already a draft and the review. But this report is coming from the Genesaur Council. In fact, it's prepared by the staff, kind of to give additional material and the briefing material to the board when they will consider the recommendation coming from the EPDP. So I think my understanding, this is kind of quite recent practice, is before staff have prepared some material for the board, but this is more coming from the Genesaur policy staff. And it was under review by the council, and there were several edits There was a discussion in the council list about maybe there is a need to change the format and what kind of information is there. So this is more like to just confirm that report and send it for the board, so it will be in time for the board consideration of the final report for the EPDP. Okay, so is there any question or comment on this one? For some reason, I'm not surprised that Hammer is in the queue. Yes, Hammer, please go ahead.
Thanks, Rafiq. This is Hammer again. I just wanted to flag that last time I checked, some of the edits in that report inaccurately reflected the NCSG's position on some of the recommendations, on one specifically, which was, I think, was recommendation 16 on the geo-distinction or the geographic distinction of registrants in terms of how they're treated. I don't know what that will mean, you know, in terms of that being in the report. I mean, I think our position is clear in the EPDP Phase 1 final report. But in terms of the GNSO report to the ICANN board, I think at least our position on one of the recommendations is inaccurate. So I'm just curious what the impact of that might be and you know, whether we can change it or not. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Hammer. I'm not sure if there was a hard deadline on this, but I think it was a few days ago. With regard to make any changes to that report. So I guess it will be difficult to do it now, but if one of the counselors can share those edits, maybe I guess it's possible. If it's just maybe specific to the NCSG position, something like that. I think that would be doable. But other than that, I think it would be difficult to make any substantive edits after the deadline. Yes, Amar, is it an old or new hand?
No, it's a new hand, Rafiq. This is Amar again. Okay. You know, even if the edits are, even if we're past the deadline for further edits, if I could get an answer from any of our counselors on, you know, what the repercussions of this report may be, that would be helpful just to understand, you know, what the result might be of the GNSO Council sending this report to the ICANN board. And, you know, considering that, you know, one of the recommendations characterization of the NCSG position on one of the recommendations is not correct. So I'm just wondering what that might mean for us or for the GNSO or for the ICANN board. So if anyone could shed some light on that, I'd be grateful. Thank you.
Thanks, Amar. So this is just more my understanding, just educated guessing. So doesn't mean it's accurate, but I think this kind of report is more additional material for the board's consideration, among other materials. So there will be, for example, we have the public comment, there will be the report summarizing all the input received. And I hope the board will read the report itself, the final report from the EPDP itself. But if we think that maybe there is some, risk of confusion about some of our position, and how it was related to NCAG, I guess it's better to try to make edits. While I'm not sure how, if it's possible now or not. So there is nothing to lose if we try to do that. So if one of the councillor can carry that to the council list, I think it would be possible. But and we try to see what how is the reaction. So, but. That's my kind of my understanding, so I'm not sure that's helpful. Okay. Okay, any other question or comment on this one? Okay, I see none. So, okay, so again, I said if it's needed, we can try to fix that. Hopefully, it's better to do it today if possible, not waiting till tomorrow. Okay, the next item is the approval of the appointment for the chair of the EPDP team that will be for phase two. So I'll kind of maybe finish with the process. It was agreed before that the GENESO leadership with the standing selection committee leadership to do the selection and to propose the name to the council. And so there was a call for expiration of interest, and it was extended once because we got only one candidate in the first period, and we just added added one after the extension. So you can understand that really doesn't give a huge pool of candidates, and it's quite a worrying signal about having enough people who want to volunteer to a chair position for a BDP working group. So the name that was selected between two candidates, it's Yanis, they forget the name, the family name is a little bit hard. Yanis, who he was former GAC chair, and he's currently ambassador for Latvia, if I'm not mistaken. And the other candidate was Chris Lahat, who is the former ombudsman for ICANN. So I can share that what we find out is really, I mean, those two candidates have qualities in terms of chairing and mediation and so on, and facilitation, but I think it's clear there is a lack of, in terms of GNSO operating procedure and the PDP in general. Probably they have high-level knowledge, but the specifics and the way that for the chair to understand the expectation and to manage the PDP and so on, it can be something that they have to catch up, and also about the knowledge of the PDP phase one. Maybe it's not kind of critical, but I think it's quite important since there are several items deferred from phase one to phase two. So this is kind of the understanding, and there is a lot of expectation that the support staff and myself as a liaison and acting chair for the EPDP now, to support the incoming EPDP chair to catch up and to prepare for phase two. So I cannot say that he's the perfect candidate. It's optimal, but that's the situation we are now. And I see Stefan is in the queue. Please go ahead.
Stephanie Perrin, for the record, I really don't understand how we could accept. I understand that the selection committee was under pressure. There were only two candidates. I did not read their applications. Obviously, I wasn't on the selection committee. But if it is true that Karklins is the chair of the standing committee at WIPO, then as far as I'm concerned, that is a conflict of interest that rules him out. I mean, really, that and being a former GAC chair hardly makes him a neutral party. And we had a neutral candidate in the former ombudsman. I realize that people do not feel that he did a great job as ombudsman. Some do. Can't speak for everybody, but we certainly hear that. But you have to look at the limitations of his powers as ombudsman. and I can't see that he would be a worse chair, but he at least has, if anything, an understanding of the need for privacy, which I doubt that Carklins does, because Carklins was leading the GAC when some of the worst pressure on who is was exerted on ICANN. So I really can't understand why we would accept this choice and why our counselors wouldn't object to it. Thank you.
Thanks, Stephanie. So first, I think the selection was based on the application, so I cannot tell that much about that. But I don't think one application really helped Chris in this case. As I said, they are far from being the perfect candidate. So probably, I mean, the selection committee can take the heat about this. But again, if I kind of move a little bit backward, the situation is that you don't have, there was a problem to get people to apply in the first place. And I hear people that maybe we should have worked hard to and so on. But my general feeling here is that it's not just for the EPDP. We'll have a problem in future in terms to find people who want to volunteer as chair and to commit for a long period. So with regard to the NCNG position, if people are really feeling strongly about this, first thing I would advise that you should not vote or abstain in vote against or abstain for a consent agenda, because that's defeating the purpose of the consent agenda. If there is a disagreement and a discussion is warranted, it's better to ask to remove that from the consent agenda and to bring it back to the main agenda. So that's my advice in terms of procedure. I mean, say it's right or wrong, but just an advice to avoid the previous situation when it happened. What will be the impact if we vote against? I'm not sure, because it seems even other group, maybe they understand that's not the optimal solution, but they understand that's how, I mean, that's kind of understanding that they should move on. So I'm just here giving you what should done in terms of procedure, but I'm not sure about what can be the outcome here. And in the case if, let's say that there is enough vote against, what will be the solution? So it's better also to think what kind of counter proposal you will make in such situation. So. Okay, Aidan, please go ahead.
Thank you, Ricky. This is Aidan. I just wanted to echo everything that Stephanie just said there. I'm really quite disappointed with where we're at the moment, where this individual is going to become the chair, and there's nothing. And this is not even a comment directed towards that individual. It is more the process. What I am so frustrated by was the fact that no one from council leadership or from the Standing Selection Committee actually sought out input here. And we do have, what, 3 NCSG members on the Standing Selection Committee, and we have one NCSG member who is a part of the council leadership team. There was no consultation with the NCSG's EPDP members who will have to work with this individual to see what we thought should be an appropriate path forward. And there was no broader consultation with the NCSG. And I am so frustrated about this, because this is not the first time that it has happened. It happened with the previous chair as well. But I'm more frustrated, actually, with council leadership, because there is very little communication between the council leadership team and the NCSG councillors. And I think it's entirely unacceptable. Now, as to that justification you just gave as to why this individual should become the chair, and I understand that it's because apparently one of the 2 applications was lacking in detail. Well, that is why didn't you go back to the other individual and ask that they expand upon their answers? You had 2 candidates here. Could you not interview them? Could you not seek additional information. How difficult is it, really? You're not talking about having 1,000 applications to assess. There were only two. So I think that is just really not a very compelling reason that you have to make this one individual the chair because apparently the application was more fulsome. I mean, as I think you would be the first to, except we all have huge time. We all have other commitments going on. Not everyone is going to put a great level of detail into this application because it had been extended, the deadline already once. There hadn't been a huge amount of demand. And I think it's probably not an unreasonable assumption to think that people might have also worked with one of these individuals before, and so they could offer some personal anecdotes of what they are like to work with. So I just wanted to note this, that I don't think it is appropriate, the process that was followed here. I certainly don't think it's appropriate for the council chair to, before we have even voted, to send some kind of communication to essentially say that one person has been chosen, the other rejected, and we're just expected now to rubber stamp the decision that is made. So I think this is just a really absurd situation that we find ourselves in. As Stephanie indicated in the chat, I think one of the better ways forward would be to hire some kind of independent mediator to be the chair rather than the situation that we find ourselves in now. But what I also want to say, and I keep saying it, but I'm going to have to continue saying it, communication between council leadership and NCHG councillors needs to improve because how things have been happening over the past year is not acceptable. Not one bit. Thank you.
Okay. So, to respond first thing, it's important to understand that the council delegated a task to a committee to do the selection. And so, I'm not sure what this kind of input is requested or expected here, because if that's the case, then the selection should be done as a whole committee, and that means the whole Genasol Council. I think that will fix all the problems and avoid to blame some people, if that's the point here. Go to Genasol leadership communication. I think if there is a problem with the chair,
Rafiq, we can't hear you. It looks like Rafiq is not on the call anymore. We'll just wait a few minutes for him to rejoin.
And the position my connection stopped for a few seconds. So, again, as I tried to explain, if there is any problem, you can escalate, raise that to the council, and ask a question. So, if people are not feeling happy, or there is any concern, I think that's the solution, and I would advise to do so. Amar, please go ahead.
Thanks, Rafiq. This is Amar. Not to look back over what has happened, but to try to deal with this moving forward. I would suggest that, you know, one areas we have in phase one, not continue to phase two, specifically speaking, you know, I think we need to now separate the leadership role for the council liaison role, specifically, again, the vice chair and the council liaison role, which have both been held by Rafiq throughout phase one, which I'm sure was a ton of work on his part. But moving forward in anticipation of potential, let's say, disagreements, I think that's a nice word, disagreements between some of our members, perhaps, and the EPP team's leadership, I think we need to separate leadership from the council liaison role. So I think it would be a good idea that the council change, you know, either the vice chair or the council liaison to this team, just in the event that, you know, there are disagreements that cannot be managed within the EPDP team and need to be elevated to council. I think having a council liaison who is also serving on the leadership team at this point is a potential conflict. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Amar. So about for EPDP leadership here, for the role of vice chair and liaison, I think it was made already as a comment by the registrar. I think maybe the registries, they want to separate between those two roles. For speaking personally, I'm not looking to be the vice chair. And just for now, end up to be the acting chair for the EPDP for enforcing reason, but I never planned to do so. And so I'm waiting when the new chair will take over, and just that we support for a short period of time so he can catch up and start the phase two. So I think that's the expectation. The question will be here is how you will appoint the vice chairs, or that's why I'm insisting vice chairs. Because the situation in phase one, I think I was kind of proposed as a solution because I don't think any group was looking to lose one of their representatives to be the vice chair, but this is the same question will come back, and it's better for the council and the EPDP team to think here how to do for that role. But again, speaking for myself, I'm not looking to be a vice chair anyway, just if I will continue to be in the role and the quality of Genesol Councilism. Is it an old or new hand, Amr?
A new hand, Rafiq.
Yes, please go ahead.
And you actually kind of, this is Amr again, and you actually kind of answered it with your last comment there, because you said you you intend on staying on as a council liaison. So, I mean, my comment wasn't directed specifically toward, I mean, I had an idea that you were planning on stepping down as vice chair. I wasn't sure if you were planning on stepping down as liaison or not, but it was, again, this was like a, just a forward, like a thought for moving forward. I wouldn't have wanted to see the GNSO Council replace you with one person who would serve in both those roles, as an example. So if you're planning on staying on as council liaison and not staying on as vice chair, I think that would be a potentially great solution. Just hoping that our counselors, you know, when this does come up on the council agenda, just be mindful to avoid having one person serve in both these roles in phase two of the EPDP. Thank you.
Thanks, Hammer. Yeah, again, I said it's, the expectation, I think, and that's the position of different parts in the council is to separate the two roles. So the question is just how, who will be the vice chair, or maybe more than one vice chair. But again, yes, if I will continue really only as a liaison for the council, and this is also a question about the commitment, as I think we might expect that this will be at maybe 1 year or 1 year and a half or 2 years. So that's more even than phase one in terms of workload and commitment. Yes, Tatiana, please go ahead.
Thank you very much, Rafiq. And I would say that as a counselor, I would support any decision of yours, whether you want to stay as a YC chair or whether you want to go. But what I was going to say in this regard, especially about the vice chairs, I would strongly support on the council level to have vice chairs, several of them, so the stakeholder groups and constituencies could be happy that they're not losing the member in this regard. My problem with this is that, as far as I remember, we already had this discussion, and I flagged this issue already when we were discussing the charter for EPDP. I remember Heather, who was chair of the GNSO Council, actually flagged this issue too in support, but then it just went nowhere. We had vice chair and whatever, and we ended up with you as a council liaison serving as a vice chair. My position as a council, my suggestion in this regard would be that I would avoid changing the charter, because once we start changing it, there would be too many interests or groups trying to jump in saying, look, you said that the charter wasn't changeable, but it is at the end and whatever. What I would say is that maybe we as a council can recommend to EPDP to decide whether they want to go with one vice chair or several. But again, I don't know how this would align with the charter. So I remember myself flagging this issue during the discussion of the EPDP charter, but it looked like there were some more important issues on the table, and this one was completely overlooked. So we had only vice chair as, you know, single person there. So I'm wondering if there would be any suggestions in this regard from any other folks, but I think that maybe we can get on the GNSO Council level, just leave it to EPDP and that for them to decide if they want one or several, but without changing the charter. I would be very much against changing the EPDP charter and opening the door to any for any further amendments. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Tatiana. I think there was an agreement before the Kobe and during Kobe meeting that we are not going to amend the charter. What the GNSO Council gave is some guidance or instruction, but there is no plan to amend the charter. The charter already indicates about the having vice chairs, so I don't think there is a need to make any changes anyway on that area. The only thing is really how the EPDP team will decide about the selection of one or more vice chairs. So there is already a description about the expectation and the role of the vice chair, but it's just a question here how the EPDP team will envision the leadership team for the EP. And in fact, while the chair is appointed by the council, the vice chair appointment or selection is left to the APDP team itself. So here it will be more discussion at that level. Hey. Tatiana, is it an old or new hand?
Sorry, it's an old hand thing.
Hey. Thanks. Okay, so is there any further question or comments on this one? So again, I can just share with you how you can do in terms of procedure, but you need really a clear plan here and rational to explain why you would object to the chair. So yes, Tiffany, please go ahead.
So do we have action items coming out of this discussion for our counselors? What's gonna happen? I mean, there has to be some action on this, in my view, or I'm ready to quit the EPDP. I'm not going through the hell that I can see coming at us. Complete waste of time. We're agreeing to what amounts to a takeover. why did this person come forward? He hasn't even been active at ICANN recently.
Hey, Stephanie, not sure what kind of action item we would expect here. Again, if people feel strongly that they should object or vote against, yes, they can do so. But again, I'm not sure about other group position. And if so, even if you you get this down, what will be the solution here? So I'm not saying there is none, but you need to bring up something that to how you would bring, how you will bring another candidate, or how you would select another one, and so on. So that's the question. If it's just a matter of we are not happy with this one and we would prefer the others, maybe, but maybe other group would say the opposite. So I have no idea what can be the solution here. I'm saying it, so. Yes, Stephanie?
Hey, Stephanie Perrin, for the record, let me tell you what I would like as an action item. This is on the agenda. There's a vote, right? It has to get the approval of the GNSO Council. So I expect our councillors to raise their objections that from what they can see, there are indications of non-neutrality in the person of this chair. And they'd like a fuller explanation of how he came to be selected. If we cannot get a new search process or a new option B that I wrote in the chat, one option would be to hire that guy from the mediation company to chair us. I realize it's expensive, but so is having this thing derail. I mean, I'm dead serious. I'm not going to waste time on this committee if it's biased. If this is a GAC takeover, I'd like to know now and leave and just sue somebody and get them into a court of law, because we are having a ridiculous approach to the enforcement of data protection law taken by ICANN and all of its the lobbies that have had an open who is from its inception, backed up by the NTIA, surprise, surprise. And now we've got a former GAC chair who, as head of the EPD, for the most important part, the building of this so-called tiered system, and the determination of who is going to accredit people and how they're going to determine purpose, this turns into a complete waste of all of our time. If those of us who are have our doubts about this are correct. So, you know, plus we're on a rapid time schedule, according to what everybody has agreed to here. And the GNSO Council has waffled in its statement on it. I mean, I really think I wish Milton were here to yell a bit, because I think this is very, very serious, and we need to either start a new process, find a plan B, appoint Chris as co-chair, because at least he will try to tug at this guy's coattails and keep him honest. But you cannot drop that to us. As has been pointed out previously in the chat, there were plenty of the big players, people, on this technical study group, big players being contracted parties. So, you know, we have every reason to believe that some sort of solution that the contracted parties can live with is in the works. But that's not going to give us proper data protection in this access model. Thank you.
Okay. So, first thing, yes, you can bring this from the consent agenda. I think that's the first step you have to do if you want to have a discussion. Otherwise, you cannot if it's still in the consent agenda. So you can bring it back to the main agenda. Second, it will pass with a simple majority. So if you want to defeat it, you need to get enough votes here. With regard to, I see some solution about having co-chairs or adding by chair or starting the process or having a professional professional mediator to work as a chair and so on. Okay, I mean, you can bring this, and I'm not sure. I think it's maybe matters in terms of timing here. So, yeah, I mean, you have to make your mind and how you want to bring this. I think just maybe leaving it to the council meeting, it will not be received well. If there is any concern, it should be done as soon as possible and to make proposal at earlier, not just waiting for the meeting. This is my perspective here. Okay, I see the queue. I'm not sure, Stephanie, is it an old or new hand? Okay, it's an old hand. Yes, Amr, please go ahead.
Thanks, Rafi. This is Amr, and I kind of agree with you, but I would take it a step further in saying that, you know, being reactionary to this right now is not good management of the GNSO's PDP. You know, this process has been ongoing for a while, and there's been trouble trying to recruit a chair for the EPDP right now. And, you know, there was an extension to the deadline because there was only one option, and I think we were all pretty much in the loop of who the initial candidate was, because he had announced it himself. So at this point, I think the sensible thing to do would be to work with the choice that the appointing team made. And there are measures within the GNSO operating procedures and working group guidelines to, you know, handle a chair that is difficult. It's unfortunate. It's far from ideal. I mean, it's nowhere near being perfect. It's far from ideal. It's a pretty bad situation. I think we all agree on that. But I think it would be bad management on part of the council to, you know, to move backwards on this decision and try to change it in any way. I think what would have been a better idea was, you know, earlier in the process, we could have been a bit more proactive in terms of trying to recruit a chair for the EPDP team. I know Stephanie made an effort on that front. I did as well. We both failed. You know, there were other measures that could have been taken. You know, having the appointing team, you know, including the council leadership and possibly the standing selection committee, to also proactively go out and try to recruit a potential candidate that might be more appealing and more more effective at the chair job. But right now, when this is all done, and after our councillors and other councillors agreed or at least did not object to the process that was being used, to come back and say, no, we don't like the results of this process that we all approved or did not object to earlier in our work, and now we want to, you know, track back and change things. I don't think that's very good management of the GNSO's PDP, and I think we need to live with the decision that's been made now. And like I said, we do have tools at our disposal to deal with difficult situations that might arise. I hope they don't. I suspect they will. And like I said, it's a bad situation we're in, but we need to deal with it. Thank you.
Thanks, Sam. Just one clarification about the committee. We didn't know the names till after the deadline for the call of expression of interest. So there is no way kind of to know about that and to do recruitment. But point taken. I think that was not expected from that group, but if it was, I guess we need next time we need to be clear about that outreach effort, as maybe is expected from the NOMCOM. Point taken. Yes, Aiden.
you, Rafiq. This is Aidan. I wanted to change the subject slightly because there's no point in me rehashing the same arguments about who's going to be the chair or not. Because really, the decision has been made there, and I don't think that we ourselves have enough votes to be able to change that now, which is unfortunate, especially because I do disagree with something that Amma said, that we do have tools at our disposal to be able to sort of rein in the chair if necessary. I don't think we do. I wish I was enough of an optimist to think that we would be in a position where we could hold them accountable. What I wanted to talk about just briefly was resourcing for the EPDP. There was an email that arrived in my inbox a few hours ago regarding the ATRT free review, and it was talking about the resources that they were being allocated. And it's really quite extraordinary how much money they're receiving as part of this review team. And so they're talking about doing a three-day face-to-face meeting in August in either Beijing, Hong Kong, or Singapore. And so they have almost unlimited resources at our disposal. And yet, at the GNSO level, when we're talking about resourcing for the EPDP, recently we've seen even transcripts are being delayed now. So transcripts will now take 72 hours versus 24 hours. I appreciate there is a modest cost saving there, but is that not something that is just fundamental to our work, to have transcripts available in a timely manner? We can't, at a ICANN meeting, for instance, we can't be everywhere. I would like to be able to go to a meeting and to be able to have quickly skimmed the transcript ahead of time, particularly when they're meeting, you know, two or three times across an ICANN meeting. We won't be able to do that if transcripts are taking 72 hours. So I'm really disappointed by that. As for comments in the chat, check the working group guidelines, appeal 3.7. Yeah, that's not going to be helpful. I appreciate that's in there, but I've certainly raised issues with the council liaison to the EPDP before, and they've not, you know, nothing's come of them. So I don't think that is actually something that we can rely on, unfortunately. But I hope that I'm proven wrong, and I hope that we have no issues whatsoever in phase two of the EPDP, and that should any issues arise, we will be able to rely on that mechanism, and council leadership will take a more responsive approach than happened in phase one, where we could not even get accurate updates shared on the council mailing list. We were getting sort of these glossy PR newsletters that resembled none of the meetings that I was in. Anyway, but on resources, other parts of the ICANN community seem to have an abundance of resources. Our EPDP, for the phase two of its work, seems to be relying on very little. And so I think that's really disappointing, but something that we need to pay more attention to. Why does this not receive the same priority from ICANN.org as other projects are?
There are several comments here, so I will respond to them. First, in terms of resources, I think that was discussed at the APDP team level in many ways, but more important during COBE meeting and the several session. And regarding the transcript, it was in fact discussed in Thursday meeting, but maybe I understand that Aidan, you were not there, so maybe you missed that, but you can check the transcript and find what the EPDP team agreed on. With regard to the existing mechanism, Amal is right. I advise people to read the GNSS operating procedure in terms of what exists here. A mechanism to keep the chair on track. And about the council liaison, which is myself here, so I'm hearing some comments. I do disagree about what is expected in term of reporting regarding the activities of the EPDP team, and I think that was what done in term of explaining the progress. But at the end, the EPDP team delivered its final report, so probably that's a response to what was said before. In terms of escalating, again, I advise to reinforce operating procedure in which situation EPDP team members can use the liaison with regard to the issue. So there are some areas that the liaison might discuss with the chair and regarding some action, but there is, how to say, different area where the team can ask the liaison to act and to work with the council in those matters. So, okay. Stephanie, I think you are in the queue. And since we are already past the first hour of our call and still we have several topics that we want to cover, so, okay, I guess it was an old hand. Is there any further comment or question here?
Yeah, Ricky, this is Aiden. I want to
I don't see any
put out before.
Okay.
I appreciate that, but you I'm simply responding to the comments that you made a few moments ago within which you addressed me. So you said that because I was absent on the Thursday meeting of the EPDP that I was unaware of the change to the transcript. Yeah, I wasn't at that meeting. I had somewhere else to be at that particular time. And of course, that is not the issue. I understand this decision was made. This decision was made to save money. What I was flagging was that other parts of the community do not have the same pressures. They have resources that are made available. As to the other comments that you made about what is the role of the liaison, I appreciate that. However, I don't think that the council liaison to the EPDP actually fulfilled their role. That is my concern. And so I do hope that that is something that will change in the second phase of the EPDP.
Aiden, I think you are entitled to your opinion, but doesn't say are right or accurate anyway. So anyway, so let's move on here. The next item is about the approval of suggested amendments to the Gen Associate selection criteria, and there was a document was shared on the council list. It was drafted by Heather, who is the Gen Associate representative to the Fellowship Selection Committee, and there was several input and edits on that document. So basically here we will approve that list of criteria, and hopefully we can get the clean version of that. So I don't think there was any specific concern as the comments were already taken into consideration for. Okay, any question or comment on this one? Okay. I don't see any comment here on anybody in the queue, so we can move to the next agenda item, which is about the vote on the IGO and NGO access to curative price protection mechanism. This topic was in the council consideration for a long time now, since last year, August, since we received the final report and recommendation from the working group, and it was kind of put on hold because there were concerns expressed by the GAG, in particular the IGOs there, about the recommendation and how the rate and the process and so on. So it was considered that we should take time here to see what are the best option and how to proceed. And the GNSO council leadership with the staff tried to work, I mean, to make some proposal that it was were presented, if I'm not mistaken, in, at least in COBE meeting and prior to that, and to target to have something to vote by April meeting. And we are at this level. with a proposal. So there are five recommendations. So the proposal is, I mean, there are different options, but the proposal here for the motion is to vote for recommendation number 1 to 4, as they are not expected to make any changes to any existing consensus policy, but for recommendation 5, to not approve it and to send it to, for what is proposed now to the motion to the RPM, as it's covering EDRP review. But I understand that maybe RPM is not the right place for that. But just to clarify, what is suggested is to send it in phase 2, and the RPM is in phase 1. So this is still open. There was also discussion maybe we need an EPDP just to cover in kind of specific scope about the recommendation 5, and there was some kind of question or items to cover. So that's what we have now. Personally, is it kind of the best option? Not necessarily, but it's something that kind of was proposed because we know about the position from the GAC, and they are clearly making that clear to the board, and they wanted the board to be involved in the way to kind of having a dialogue between the GAC and the GNSO Council. But I think we avoided that in the way we discussed it with them during our joint meetings, I mean the GNSO Council and the GAC. And so we are trying here to propose something that it keep the sanctity of the PDP, because we want to avoid the situation that every time a group, including the GAC, is not happy with an outcome of PDP to try to redo the work in one way or another. So that's what we have on the table, and we see if it's the best option for now. So, yes, Kathy, please go ahead.
Okay. Can you hear me, Rafik? Can you hear me here?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, terrific. Okay. As everybody knows, I'm one of the co-chairs of the Rights Protection Mechanism Working Group, which has already, in phase one, been in the process for 3 years. So people are getting tired. But one of the things we talked about going, you know, in the midst of phase one is how much our charter had in it. We were given a lot of things. A lot of stuff was really punted to us and not very focused. So we were hoping for phase two to be more narrowly tailored and more focused, and kind of get through. Phase two is the UDRP review. Bringing in the IGO-INGO issues have really proven very intractable. They're tough, and they require a lot of expertise. And I'm afraid bringing it into phase two of a group that's really non-commercial and business, it's really the non-contracted party houses. There are some registries and registrars, but it's really a group that knows commercial law and non-commercial rights. It doesn't know a lot about IGOs and INGOs. I think it's going to wind up sentencing us to many more years of work, and I don't think it's a good idea. I'm not crazy about another EPDP, but I'm not crazy about a phase two that is as large as a phase one. We did hear objections from me, and I believe from Brian, in Kobe when we were asked about this. Somebody on the GNSO Council, I think it was Maxim, asked us about this, and we expressed our concerns. So let me express them again. Let's not put too much in. I don't think this is a good idea. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Kathy. I think regarding RPM, we have, there is an agenda item later on about this in terms of progress and so on, and the timeline. So we have the two options, either to send the RPM. And I know there was already some opposition from, I think, the IPC and DC. They didn't want really to go, that to be sent there. I don't know for their reason. Probably they're not necessarily the same that we might have. So I think in general the solution proposed here is to approve for recommendation and send the fifth or to work on the kind of the follow-up on the fifth, either RPM or an ePDP, or to create another PDP. I don't think creating another PDP would be good in any manner. ePDP, it's possible, and I think that what we discussed in the council meeting in Kobe. So, yeah, we can bring this back. I think it's possible. So, in terms of proposal, I participate in the leadership team, so that's kind of what we are working as a team, but from NCSC position, we can bring back other option if needed. So. So with regard to approving this, the scenario is clear. What will happen if we approve, and we know the guy is not happy with it, they will issue an advice to the board, and the board will make a decision on that. But also we need to be careful here, is that it depends if for approval, we are not sure if it will get enough vote in first place, because there are some group, and understanding the content, they may not be keen to vote or to approve this one. So it might not be even go to that stage. Okay. So any question or comment on this one?
This is Kathy. What's our position? Are we supporting it or not supporting it? I don't understand.
Okay, thanks, Kathy. I cannot speak for others, so because I was involved in, I'd say, a different way on this discussion as the council leadership team, working with the staff about the different proposal and what can be the best option. But at the end, if this is an NCSC position, other councillors should make their mind here and explain what the best path for this. So from my perspective, I think approving the four recommendation and finding better vehicle for the fifth, if we don't, we are worried that it will put a lot of pressure and an RPM. But if you read the motion, it's talking about phase two. In fact, it's kind of sending it back, it's sending it to later to make a proper decision. Because even if we talk of phase two for RPM, it means the charter needs to be amended. So it's still possible even after that to kind of decide to use another vehicle for that one. Just what is proposed here is just to avoid the controversy about that recommendation, knowing the decision. But at the end, again, it's really up to others to share their thoughts and position on this one. Okay, any comment or question here? Okay, I don't see any. Okay. So, the next agenda item is just for discussion. And this is about managing ID and variance TLD. So, this is coming from the board, kind of asking the GNSO and the CCNSO to work on the policy for the IDN variants. So I tried really to understand what the issue with the variants is. While it was kind of when the work in the IDN was mostly like technical and so on in terms of settings, but the policy issue were left to some extent. I think the subpro is working. They worked also on the IDN in terms of review. But for this one, it's kind of we are expecting to do some work. So the discussion here is to see how the GNSO probably working with the CCNSO, how we should proceed on this and how we can policy with regard to the to I mean in term of policy. So I'm not that familiar. I got some briefing about it, but I cannot really speak as an expert on this issue. And this is one that we really need people familiar with IDN and having some expertise, because this case is, I think, specific for some language, like for Arabic script or the Chinese script and so on, where you might have, it might be used by different language, and so there are some TLD that look similar. And so what kind of policy you will set in those cases? Okay. Any question or comment on this one? Okay, I see none. The next agenda item is a council update about the status of EPDP Phase 1 informal implementation review team. And this is, will be done by GDD staff, and that will be Dinit Cheng. As the board didn't approve yet the EPDP Phase 1 final report, we had this idea of having kind of informal implementation review team that was proposed by the EPDP team, and so kind of to do the prep or groundwork when it will the IRT become official. And my understanding that the pre-IRT already starting its first call, if I'm not mistaken, it was last week. I hope there are some of NCNG members there, and maybe they can give us some update of what was going on. Okay, so we will get an update and see what's happened and what are the progress and what are the next steps for the implementation. I don't want to kind of volunteer someone, but I think, Amar, you are in that pre-IRT, so if you have any update that you want to share.
Great, thanks, Rafiq. This is Amar. We had one call for the pre-IRT last week. It was one of these really, you know, kind of like, you know, let's all be friends, introductory call where no substance at all was discussed here. I think there were a couple of, issues you could say that were kind of flagged, but not necessarily acted on. Maybe one was. One was that, you know, IRTs are run by GDD staff. So there's a project lead or a project manager responsible, Dennis Chang, and he's part of what they call an IPT, an implementation project team, which is basically the staff members responsible for implementing the policy recommendations adopted by the ICANN board. And the IRT, the implementation review team, is you know, they're the community members that support and advise the staff members and you know, and try to work with them to make sure that the consensus policy language that is drafted is consistent with the intent of the policy recommendations. So one of the things was that the pre-IRT doesn't have a council liaison. A number of the IRT members suggested that it would be a good idea for a council liaison to be appointed to the pre-IRT, and that way, you know, if for any reason a liaison is required, he or she would be available. Also, in terms of continuity, you know, when the pre-IRT switches over to a regular IRT, having a liaison that was part of the earlier discussions might be a good idea just for continuity purposes. The other issue was on membership of the pre-IRT. My understanding and several other members of the pre-IRT, you know, we believe that only folks who are directly involved in phase one of the EPDP would be allowed to participate in the pre-IRT, but I think there are at least two members of the pre-IRT who are not involved with the EPDP. And then this question did come up. One of them was on the call, the other was not. It didn't look like there was a standing action item to deal with this, but several members of the pre-IRT did raise this as an issue, kind of a procedural issue more than anything. You know, if people who weren't involved in phase one were allowed to join the pre-IRT, then this should have been made clear, and, you know, anyone who wanted to join could have joined at that point. But since there was a rule on restricting membership at this time, that should probably be applied universally. So there's still, I think, an open question on why these two members, there might have been more, but I remember two of them, why these two members of the pre-IRT are there at all. That's really all there is for now. I'll have to follow schedule next week. Thanks.
Hey, thanks, Thomas. So, yeah, I mean, the IRT membership is open. I think the issue was not raised before because there were few people really. They joined IRT. It was mostly those with operational experience or interest, like the registrars and so on. But this case is different. I think the issue we are expecting is that when the IRT will start, it's not just the pre-IRT, it will be in parallel with the phase two. And so, it's kind of, if there is overlap of membership, there will be some more cloud here. With regard to the council liaison, in fact, there is a call for, in the council list about, people to put their names as, council liaison to the pre-IRT, but I don't think anyone put his or her name to be in that role. And I expect that it will be probably maybe someone from the contracted party to be interested, but just in terms of procedure, there was a call for interest in the mailing list, and I think I will suggest to send a reminder to the list. Probably was kind of buried with other threads there. Yes, Hammer, you want to add something?
Yeah, thanks, Rafiq. This is Amr. Very quickly, just in case folks are not following, the reason this is a pre-IRT and not an IRT, because IRTs are typically formed after the ICANN board adopts GSO recommendations, and then they direct staff to law implementation review team. In this case, the pre-IRT was launched prior to the board's vote on the GSO recommendations. And once the board does vote, assuming they will adopt the recommendations, then the pre-IRT will change into a regular IRT, and membership will be opened up at that point. So the membership issue is only a temporary one, just for, I think, just a few more weeks until the board votes on the GSO recommendations on phase one of the EPEP. One thing I forgot to mention, and that I was not aware of previously, is that whether you were involved with the EPDP team or not, you may at this point subscribe as an observer to the pre-IRT's mailing list. So if you want to do that, you can go ahead and do that. I'll see if how that could be done if people are interested. There are a number of, or at least as tweet, there were a number of observers already subscribed to the pre-IRT's mailing list, which so far is rather quiet. But none of them were from NCSG. So I just wanted to flag that in case, anybody does want to subscribe as an observer. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Harold. Thanks for this. Is there any question or comment on this one? Okay, I don't see any, so we can move to the next agenda item, and for time check, we have 13 left in the call. Okay, so the next one is about the updated timeline for the PTP of the RPM mechanism, the RPM, sorry, and so probably this will be changed a little bit, as we are not going to get right now the updated timeline for the PDP. That will come later, and I think within 1 week. but it will be more to get an update here from the RPM about the progress and so on, so to give an idea what's going on there. So we get updates, I think, in Kobe meeting and prior, but this is just will be, again, an update about the RPM. And since we are here, if someone wants to share anything regarding the RPM, I think it's a good time to do so. But again, the kind of the topic was really about a detailed timeline from the co-chairs of the RPM, the way to give insight by when they think that the RPM will deliver its final report for phase one. I see Martin is in the queue. Yes, Martin, please go ahead.
Thank you very much, Rafiq. I don't have a lot of information to share on this. For those who don't know, I am the co-chair right now of the subgroups that are going on at the working group. And we were aiming originally to end this phase one in October. I really cannot vouch. I don't know exactly what the leadership of the coach, the coaches have in mind. And I know that we had for the completion of the PEP, February of 2020. I understand that coaches will ask or have asked for an extension of this deadline, but I really don't have exact knowledge on how long or how much longer it's going to get to get through the PEP. It has been challenging for the working group, mainly because we were aimed to answer with data. So it wasn't only about getting a consensus idea of that, but it's also about every recommendation we are making has to have a data or stating. We say that this is not working, and we say this might solve this problem because this data says so. So we have to gather data that didn't exist, data that wasn't gathered from the operation. A lot of those of that data wasn't structured. A lot of was anecdotal. We have to be very creative and use universities, go to members. It has been very challenging for that sense, and that's why I think has driven the process longer and longer. The fact that it was a very thorough work of looking into the data, debating the data, and I mean, the data wasn't there. We had to do the whole process of collecting it, structuring, debating it, vetting it, and then arriving to a consensus idea of what the data said, what data was relevant, and eventually, like we are doing now, trying to sort out a recommendation on whether the mechanisms we're working on and what we think has to be improved. I hope this gives some heads up. That's the basic I know.
Okay, thanks, Martin. Any question or comment here? Okay. I don't see any. Okay, so what is left is just any other business, and this is more a kind of a reminder for fund travelers to book for their travel for ICANN 65. And think that's it. I mean, it's just an administrative matter. So I guess with that, we can move back to our main agenda. And as usual, it's about giving some policy update. I think we covered to some extent some of the policy discussion, but maybe first is about the public comment status. What it really matter for us in terms of public comment is the one on the EPDP final report for board consideration. We have a draft, it's under review, so Today is really your last chance if you want to comment or suggest an edit, since it's under review and for approval by the NCSG policy committee. Other than that, there are several public comments, but they are about several TLD agreements. So we usually didn't respond for each for similar agreement in consistent manner. So, but if people feel that we need to respond to some of them, I think there is still a possibility to do so. But I don't think it's one of the high priority for us. Other than those public comments, something I put into in the others in agenda item number 4, but it's something that we probably we need to cover. Is there was a kind of it's not that the problem. It was not kind of a formal public comment and independent review process technical panel, but it was kind of shared with, by a blog post, and so probably many in the community missed it, and they already expressed the concern that that was the approach followed here. So this is something that should be that we should cover, and I wanted to highlight it. It's we need to comment on that one, but it's not under public comment. So that's said about the opportunities to for public consultation and sharing input. With regard to the policy topics, so we have the PDP working group and the review teams. I think for PDPs, we already heard about the RPM. But if there is anything to be added, please feel free to do so. Okay, Hammer, please go ahead.
Thanks, Rafi. This is Hammer. I just want to address, you know, the topic of the EPDP again, with two questions, if I may. First, you mentioned earlier in the call, you know, this, the public comment that is open right now, this Lamaro, on the board's consideration of the EPDP, you know, the recommendations. I was wondering if there's anything required of the drafting team between today and tomorrow for the NCSG comments, I mean. Before the policy committee, you know, adopts this as an NCSG comment or not. If there is, please let us know. As you pointed out, the deadline is tomorrow. And my second question is on appointing an alternate. One of our alternate members has stepped down, and we're still missing a replacement. So I'm wondering when the NCSG Policy Committee is going to appoint a replacement for the alternate. I think we're running short on time if we want the alternate to participate as Phase 2 kicks off. Thank you.
Thanks, Howard. So for the first question or comment, I think the drafting team can help to resolve the edits and comments in the way that it will be really close to final or clean version for the policy committee consideration. I sent reminders to the policy committee for review, since it's quite urgent to do so and to get this on time. I don't think there is any way to get any extension because all the kind of time constraints. So I think that if you can help on that, it will be great. With regard to the replacement for the alternate, I can take the a little bit of planning here. It's in the pipeline of the policy committee. I raised it before in March, but kind of I will think we will resume on that and get it quickly. So we only have one slot to replace, and that's for Colin. So I think it's easier than if we had to replace several members of the EPDP teams. So we'll do so in the coming days and to get that closed. Okay, any other question here or comment? Okay. So that's it was the EPDP, and I think there that for the EPDP there is also the phase two. I cannot speak that much here, but I think there is some expectation for the NCAG members to give input on what was shared as an update in the EPDP list. And you will expect other opportunity for input on other, some material, because it's all kind of needed for to work on the work plan. So different working items for the work plan. But just I want to highlight, if it was missed, there was an update shared in the EBDP list, I think almost 2 weeks ago, facing the input shared by different representatives about the mind map. So we are using the mind map to list all the issues from the charter and what was deferred from phase one. And we really urge our representative to, if they should maybe respond to the status updates at least. So in fact, I don't think there is so much traffic, unfortunately, in the EPDP list. Even many people expressed interest and they wanted that we start phase two as soon as possible, but there is not so much traffic, strangely here. Yes, Amr, please go ahead.
thanks. This is Amr again. And speaking for myself, I am really enjoying the break from the EPDP mailing list the past month or so. I did want to raise a question that on the, you know, the mind map, the work plan, and also there's been an issue of collecting at an early stage, collecting questions that may require a legal counsel to answer. And I just wanted to, I know we're past the deadline on this, by the way, way past the deadline. So apologies for bringing this up so late. But I was wondering if, because in phase one, a lot of us had spoken about a data protection impact assessment. I believe there are, there's an article in the GDPR as well as some other points where, I believe may or may not, but they may require ICANN to conduct a data protection impact assessment. So I was wondering if this is something we want to bake into the work plan and the mind map at an early stage right now or not, and whether we wanted to seek legal guidance on whether it might be required of ICANN to conduct a DPIA or not. I should probably send an email about this, but I figured I'd just float that idea right now on the call and see what folks think at this point. I know some of our members were pushing hard for this in phase one. We didn't make much headway on it. Is this something we want to add to the agenda in an early phase in phase two or not? Thank you.
Hey, thanks, Tom. Okay, so that was for EPDP. So for SEPRO, if there is any update or any question here, so I can read the comment from Melissa. That's from Kathy. So just here, maybe for sharing information, I reached the co-chairs of SEPRO working group, because my understanding there was they had some question for NCAG, and I asked them if they can kind of compile them and send to us so we can respond to them, but I'm still waiting for that. So I understand that the working group is now they reviewed the comments, or they are reviewing them, and so that means they are going to work on their final recommendation. If they are not planning to add an extra public comment period, but I'm not in that working group anyway, so that's my understanding. If there are any members of the working group from NCAC, if he or she can give some update, that will be really welcome. Okay, I don't see any. So I think that's it for PDP working group. In terms of review team, so now there is the ATRT, the Accountability and Transparency Review Team. They just started, and I think they had a face-to-face meeting this month. They start to work on the term of reference, the scope, and so on. And we can expect that they will reach the charting organization to share with them what they have now as term of reference and scope, and asking for input. I don't think we have in the NCAG members in that review team here, but I guess we can ask them in the mailing list if they can share with us more information. Other review teams, there is the SSR2, that's the security and stability. I don't think I heard from them in a while. And they had issue before, but that was solved a few months ago, and they kind of resumed their work with partly a new composition. The other review team is the RDS review team, and I think they should have their final report. And since Stephanie is here, so I will ask her about the updates on that part. So I know that they are working on their final report, but Stephanie, what is the update from the RDS review team?
Hi, Stephanie Karen, for the record. The final report was ready just prior to the previous meeting in Kobe, but they want to translate it into the official languages. So I beg your pardon, it always happens that the phone rings when you're on speaker. Just a moment, I'll get rid of this one. Hello? So as soon as it's translated, I guess we will see the final report. I put in a dissenting statement that I believe I circulated, but I'm happy to recirculate that if anybody's interested. Basically complaining that we had blown an unlimited amount of money on this review team while the entire ecosystem theoretically is going to change because of the EPDP, although I'm not so sure it's going to change now. Thanks. Happy to answer questions.
Thanks, Stephanie. Let's see if there is any question or comment on this about the RDS review team. Okay, I don't see any here. Okay, I think that's it for all the PDP and review teams, and so we can move to the others. So we already covered the IRP standing panel, and again, we need people to work on responding to the question that they were asked here. So the new deadline is the 15th of May. That's 1 month. And my understanding that we need here people who worked on the first work stream one, if I'm not mistaken, and also the IANA stewardship transition. So and familiar with the implementation discussion. So this is like this standing panel discussion is kind of on hold for quite a long time and need to be done. And so one of the concerns is that there is push for some direction in how it's implemented. So we need to make to share our input here, and in particular who are involved in the work stream one to participate here. So I'm taking note of this. Other than that, so Stephanie, I'm not going to cover the ICANN 65 plan for now, but I think you wanted to raise some items for discussion, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, hi, Stephanie Perrin for the record. I really think we're kind of out of time. I would love to hear what members feel we should be doing for the ICANN policy meeting. We have very little time. I think Mariam says we've got one slot of 90 minutes, which is not very long at all. So we're going to have to work at it. I would appreciate it.
Sorry, Stephanie, we cannot hear you at all, so we lost the audio.
Hello? Can you hear
me
now?
Can you speak closer to the mic? Oh. Yeah, we can hear you. Please speak closer to the mic. I think you are away, that's why.
Yes, I think that was the problem. Stephanie Perrin again for the record. We have only 90 minutes in Marrakesh for a meeting. Mariam's trying to find more time, but time is extremely tight. I am on that leaders planning group. There's a ridiculous number of high interest sessions. So, I do think that maybe we should try and cut back on the number of high interest sessions. But if others feel differently, if they appreciate them, let me know. I think there are 9 at the moment. And, we're still in the planning phases for that. Secondly, I'm trying to find someone to join the GNSO bylaws drafting group because I'm holding the fort there, but this is for the IANA transition bylaws. And frankly, I wasn't on the IANA transition CCWG, so there are others who were who would know more about this. This speaks to the need for people to be following things closely, even if they're not active members, because the work doesn't stop at the end of the activity. There's the implementation and the subsequent drafting and things like that. And we have a problem with volunteer burnout. I'm burnt out. I can't do anymore. So we need to come up with a strategy to get more people who are maybe reluctant to be the official reps following things and learning, because quite frankly, I think if we lost 2 or 3 people, if they just decided one day they'd had it and left, we would be in serious trouble because we don't have enough backup. So anyway, I'm imploring somebody who knows what they're talking about to join that group. Secondly, the other issue is I am still your rep on the auction proceeds. There was a conflict practically every meeting with the EPDP. So I haven't been participating. Yolf was our other rep, but the problem is I'm the official rep, so I've got the vote, so we need the policy committee to name Yolf as the official rep. So those are 2 of the things I wanted to bring up. Thanks.
Thanks, Stephanie. So for the drafting team, I think we need some experience to some extent with the changes that happened with Workstream 1 and like the empowered community and so on, and also some understanding of the GNS operating procedure. I mean, we had several members involved in the first drafting team, but like many of them left. So I can volunteer someone, and I hope she doesn't get mad. So I was thinking if maybe Tatiana wants to volunteer for this drafting team, but no pressure. Just if it, you think if it's worthy to do so. In my understanding, the work plan for that drafting team is kind of by they are going to finish work within few months. They're not like envisioning to spend too long time. With regard to appointing Yulf, so that was in my to-do list for a while, but yeah, we can do that pretty quickly. It's just to confirm at NCC Policy Committee to make it formal and send it to the GNSO Council to make it by the next council meeting in May. So I think we can have that as a deadline. And in fact, there was an action item for the council. In fact, for the councillor is to kind of remind their corresponding stakeholder group, constituency, and so on about the participation in the auction proceeds. But I think the one problem there was low participation now, or sorry, for the last month, and the co-chairs of that cross-committee working group, they were expressing concern because they want to finish and to get the final report as soon as possible. So, okay, we can get that as an action item and hopefully we can close this. So just as a reminder, we have about the replacement for alternatory PDP, appointing another representative to the auction proceeds, and having another member to the drafting team for the council with regard to its quite long name about the template and so on related to the account accountability. Okay, so I think that's it in terms of issues and topic, and well, in fact, just we have only 1 minute left in the call, so I think we did that well in terms of time management at the end. So, any question or comment or anything you want to bring now? Okay, I don't see any. So, thanks again, everyone, for attending this call. And I hope that you get enough information and so on. Please feel free to ask and to follow up because I know that sometimes it's not that clear or maybe it doesn't make sense if you don't know all the information, but I'm happy to respond and to follow up in the list if needed. And again, you can go through the council agenda. In fact, the background and description, it's quite good in terms to explain what we are going to discuss and also send to many links, in particular also the motion, so you can get a sense of what we are going to discuss. So we have, I think, several topics to follow up in terms of how we will proceed during our call, and we'll keep you updated in the list afterwards. So. Thanks again, and see you soon. Bye-bye.